The following essay was originally aired in 2003.
You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, September 22nd, 11 a.m. Puget Sound, west coast of Lopez Island, Shark Reef Recreation Site. In the distant south, rugged stony peaks, flaked and cleaved into knife-sharp edges by hanging glaciers, appear to float supernaturally atop a billowy pink fog bank as it lingers against the Olympic Peninsula. Where I sit, a bracing, transparent blue dome of high pressure overlooks the ferocious tidal surge between San Juan and Lopez Islands, creating a dramatic, spirited convergence of earth, air, and water. The narrow three-quarter-mile San Juan Channel is known for its treacherous currents born from rushing tidewaters as they fill and empty the Puget Trough. From this perch 20 feet above the sea on angular lichen-covered sandstone, an immense volume of water cascades northward, creating a frothy torrent with the power and depth of a dozen whitewater rivers. Enormous glaciers retreated from this area 12,000 years ago, leaving this carved-out basin, now known as the Salish Sea. Twice daily, tides sweep massive amounts of water over submerged ridges, thus bringing surface oxygen to lower depths and nutrients to the top layers. Numerous rivers and streams supply additional nutrients to the mix, supporting a diverse and abundant web of marine life. Salmon congregate and move through these waters on their way north to spawn in the Fraser River. For the last 3 days, I have watched a resident pod of orcas and a half-dozen purse seiners fishing enthusiastically, taking advantage of a bountiful run of chum salmon. Long trailing fronds of yellow-brown bull kelp sensuously trace the pulsing surges and eddies of nearshore currents. These amazing plants grow to up to 5.5 inches per day and to lengths of over 80 feet. They create a protected environment that harbors many other life forms. The clarity of the steely blue waters allows me a lucid view of bright orange sea cucumbers and purple sea stars clinging to rocks 30 feet below. Schools of thousands of finger-sized herring-like fish create starbursts of glistening reflected light, drawing the interest of charcoal-gray Heerman's gulls with their brilliant red-orange bills. These birds have only recently arrived here from breeding colonies in the Gulf of California. An attentive great blue heron perches on floating kelp, easily picking out and swallowing individual small fish as if they were canapes served up on a platter. 400 feet offshore, a jumble of islets form a reef. The largest bit of rocky land is known as Dead Man Island. Scores of harbor seals and glaucous-winged gulls rest insouciantly among the rocks on this tiny stone fortress. A dozen black oyster catchers pick through mollusks exposed by the low tide. A loud slap in the water draws my attention to the north end of Dead Man Island. A massive northern sea lion surfaces holding a large wriggling salmon in his mouth. This young bull's robust body and light brown fur sets him apart from the much smaller harbor seals. Northern or stellar sea lions are the largest members of the eared seal family. The hunter quickly disappears beneath the surface with his prize. Meanwhile, there is a great commotion in the center of the island as a bald eagle arrives clutching a newly caught salmon. The great bird wastes no time tearing into its prey. It is harassed mercilessly by dozens of fearless screaming gulls. The eagle is forced to spend as much time fending off its competitors as eating its freshly caught meal. Finally, the gulls force the raptor away, effectively stealing most of his trophy. The fog bank has crept silently northward, engulfing Cattle Point and its desolate lighthouse across the narrow channel. In just moments, the mist sweeps overhead, obscuring even the nearby islands from my view.
Springfield chapter of the North American Butterfly Association begins their fall-winter lecture series with Professor Fred Ramsey and Mexican butterflies. Visit many important butterfly locations in Mexico and learn about the great diversity of these beautiful creatures. Professor Ramsey will present wonderful photos of exotic swallowtails, metal marks, and tropical longwings, as well as photos of their proper habitats. A travelogue format with maps and locations will help those desiring to see these colorful Mexican butterflies on their own. The program is on Monday, October 5th at 7 p.m. at the eWeb Training Center at 500 East 4th Avenue. The lecture is free and open to all. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.